This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner is down there with that mountain lion. He's in Cartersville, Georgia. That'd be Wes Durham. Wes, what's happening?
Good morning, Pack. Did we find gasoline yesterday? Would be the question I have for you this morning.
Yes, we did. I took a, after the show, you and I had some stuff to do. And then before I got started for the radio show prep, I was like, you know what? I'm going to roll the dice. I've got 61 miles left before I'm totally empty. I got a road trip coming up tomorrow to Tigertown. And so I decided to make a strategic move. I'm not going to where the popular spots are. I was going to go off a beaten path location. And I rolled the dice, and I hit a home run. Yeah. The problem was I was the fourth in line at this particular gas station.
Okay.
And the guy in front of me, I think, was Benny Hill, the comedian. Now, some people have said
the old comedian, the English comedian.
Yeah, I think that was Benny Hill was driving in front of me, and he was driving some old beat up wreck, and he was third in line. By the time he got to the pump, he went through three credit cards to get it started. And I'm just sitting there like, oh my God, this is, we're going to run out of gas because this guy cannot find a credit card that works. I finally got out of the truck and said, sir, can I help you? Can I help you? And he looked at me like, huh?
Were you being affable?
Huh? What? Like he was giving me the old man get off the grass routine. And he had suspenders on. And he just could not. I said, sir, I will pay for your gas. I'll pay for it. Let's just get moving before we run out of it. And now I'm good. I'm good. I know what I'm doing. And he shuffled his little feet on into the gas station and waited in line with so it literally took me 25 minutes for this guy to pump his gas. And then he was one of those guys that doesn't know how to put the click on it. There he is. That when that guy started his engine, this is what I heard. The Benny Hill guy. And I know he's probably dead for all I know, but this poor guy.
He's been dead since 1992.
There you go. Been dead for 30 years. So is this guy trying to pump gas. And he was one of these guys that didn't like just put the notch on it. He wanted to personally, like each gallon was by hand. And I sat in my truck. I swear, Wes, if I was videoing this, you would have been dying. Like it took him 25 minutes. People were honking their horns behind me, and I'm like looking at him, going, "Hey, I tried to help. I tried to pay for it." So he finally scooted off. And so I finally got to the pump, and there was gas. And our funny thing about it is the guy on the other side of the island gets out. He's got a big NC State shirt on. And he goes, hey, Pack, this is crazy, isn't it? And I don't know the guy. I said, yeah, it's nuts. I said, holy man, well, we've lost our minds. And so we laughed. He said, yeah, I saw that guy pumping that gas. I said, oh, my God. I said, we've lost our minds. So bottom line, full tank of gas, good attitude. And somewhere driving around Charlotte's Benny Hill.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Full tank of gas. I'm not going to say good attitude.
Oh, I got a great attitude. I tried to pay for the guy's gas. Well, he wouldn't accept it. I said, please, let's move on. I know how this works. I know pumping in your zip code is incredibly difficult. But come on. Find a credit card that you haven't tapped out yet. You've gone through three of them. And I know you're not carrying any cash.
Remove card quickly is what it typically
says. And if you did, you're not
giving
it up. So Benny Hill was in front of me today. I know people say he's been dead for 30 years. He's driving around Charlotte. That's him right there. That's him right there, scooting right on out of the Exxon station. I should have gone to Bob's Quick Mart. That's where I should have gone. Nobody ever goes there. But nevertheless, I got gas. We're good to go. I'm heading down to Clemson tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait.
Nice. Well done. And again, we're going to Clemson to close accounts, make sure with the house. What are we doing?
No. I'm done. I am done. But we are going to spend some money tomorrow because we're going to be tied in with Dabo's All In Ball. Dabo will be on the show later today, about 9:15.
That's right.
So he has asked kindly that we participate, and we will. And we'll go down there and give a little dog and pony.
Now, you've emceed that for years, right?
Since day one. And it's been, and it used to just be a little gathering by the lake, and the thing has now exploded. He's raised millions upon millions of dollars, breast cancer awareness and other charities in the upstate. It's an incredibly cool event, He and his wife, Kat, have done, I mean, an incredible job. And it's an event. And John Gruden, a head football coach of your Raiders, will be there as a guest speaker. So looking forward to meeting him because I'm a big Silver and Black fan, as you well know. So we get to raise a lot of money tomorrow night. And Dabo and Kat have done it is a great job. Plus, I probably have maybe cocktails with the president. That might be on the agenda, too, tomorrow. Cocktails with the president. Never know. Might just stop by the house. Might just stop by the old house up there on the hill and say, "Hey, President Clements, let's have a little brown water before we start the festivities." Might just do that.
Nice. Yeah. Good. Okay. We do have a big show. We got a full Friday for you. We're going to start in Cary at the Wake Med Soccer Park, where last night the Women's College Cup was underway, the national semifinals. Florida State and Virginia went to PKs last night, Pack, in the first semifinal. Cavaliers end up winning 3-0.
No, Cavaliers
that
did
puts
not
them
win.
In the spot
no,
to.
No, no, no.
I mean, I'm sorry. No, Seminoles. No. Seminoles won 3-0. Seminoles.
No.
Florida State won 3-0. Yeah. Sorry.
Were you reading off the Benny State Hill script over there? I mean, you get the Benny Hill script.
I was.
You just finally get 25 minutes.
I had the Benny Hill script right here. Yeah, there we go. So we get to PKs last night, and Florida State wins the match 3-0 on the PKs to secure a spot in the College Cup final, which is Monday afternoon at 5:30 on ESPN2.
You know,
congratulations to Mark Krikorian.
Yep, no question. They are the number one overall seed. Kind of good news, bad news for the ACC, which we'll get to here momentarily. But Florida, this is how good Florida State is. Florida State's the number one overall seed. They are playing for the national championship, and yet they have not scored a goal in 241 minutes. Let that marinate a second. They've gone back-to-back PK wins against both Duke and Virginia. The last time they scored in regulation was the 69-minute mark. So, again, they're playing great defense. They find ways to win. They know how to close. That's why they are the number one overall seed in the ACC's last chance to win the women's soccer championship.
Yep. And the reason they are the ACC's last chance is because Santa Clara excused Carolina from the proceedings last night. 3-1 was the final there. So big win for the Broncos, who have kind of come from the 11th seed all the way into the title hunt on Monday afternoon against Florida State. Santa Clara does it, quite frankly, with really good defense. Carolina limited, got two early shots, and then the Broncos had a 1-0 lead and then added two more in the second half, Pack.
Yeah, North Carolina got the equalizer. Then this little faux pas here, yikes, that's a problem. Stop the ball. Yeah. It makes it 2-1, 3-1, see you later. And it doesn't happen very often that North Carolina loses in the semifinals. They've had a remarkable run. We pointed that out yesterday, 27-2 in the national semis. And very seldom do you see North Carolina get knocked off by more than one goal. They lose by two goals last night. And Brian Ives put a crazy tweet up last night that North Carolina's played 159 games in the NCAA tournament, only the third time they have lost by multiple goals. That is unbelievable. But nevertheless, a terrific run for the Heels. But I know, Anson and the ladies expected to be playing Florida State for the national championship.
Yep, I agree with that. And it's one of those deals where now, for the ACC, all hopes are tied to Florida State on Monday afternoon against Santa Clara. And in a game you can see on ESPN2, by the way, at 5:30. Going to be interesting. But Carolina, the history that Anson Dorrance has written, it's got to be a little frustrating not to have had an opportunity to capture a national championship now in about a decade. So, but a great run nonetheless, and they had a marvelous year. But I know very, very disappointed to come up short here.
Well, a stat like that is a reason why the program's so spectacular. I mean, when you sit there and go, hey, we've not won a national championship in 8 years, the longest championship drought in history. I mean, that puts things in perspective about how good you've been for how long, consistently good. And the program's in great shape, obviously. But, hey, the storyline, though, is Florida State. And they were the number one seed. Yep. They took care of business. They've had to walk that tightrope here the last two matches against ACC teams, both Duke and Virginia. I tell you what, Ordonez had a header last night that looked like that was trouble. And, man, Florida State found ways to stop everything between the pipes. So, a great win for Florida State. You move on. You got one more to cut down the nets, if you will, and win it all. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens on Monday afternoon, like you said.
Yep, Carolina, young team too, by the way. They'll bounce back. You got a lot of young kids in that program. They made a great run. Disappointing for both Virginia and North Carolina, but glad to have had three ACCs in the final. You see, Carolina started four freshmen last night, played a total of seven. No seniors in the rotation. That's a pretty good sign, I would think, for 2022, Pac.
Yeah,
listen, or 2021 fall, I should say.
It's a great program. They're not going anywhere. And I tell you what, I was impressed with Virginia. You know, there was no number beside Virginia's name of the four teams in the College Cup. You had number one, number two, number 11, and Virginia. And I thought the Hoos, for the most part, kind of pushed the attack. Now, I am not a soccer guy, as you well know. I watch it. I try to figure it out. I'm slow in the process. But it just seemed like Virginia was on the attack most of the time down the stretch against Florida State. But, again, Florida State's defense was out of sight. So, again, three of the four teams left standing were from the ACC. Now we're down to one, and it's all up to Florida State to bring it home. So, like I said, they'll give us something to talk about. Well, you're on vacation next week. They'll give me something to talk about on Monday. Then on Tuesday, we'll discuss the championship. So that's the deal.
Yeah. I'm off next week. You're off the week after. This will be like the last show for us for a couple of weeks. We get a break. You'll be on vacation the week when I come back. I'm on vacation next week.
Yeah, I got gas. I'm good to go. I could go. I feel like I can go almost anywhere now. I got a full tank of gas in the Ford F-150.
And then we come back to do the countdown to show 400, which will be fun too.
Oh, it's coming. We're at 385 today. We are close to coat and tie time. Mm-hmm. We're at 15 shows away.
Coat and tie.
That's right. I do it every 100 shows. It's the only time you're going to see me in a coat and tie.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Nice. Yeah, we got more. By the way, if you're going to swing by President Clement's house, are you coat and tie in that tomorrow night?
Not tie. No, not
coat and tie.
No, I'll have. I will dress up.
Socks?
No socks. No. Come on. It's summertime. I'll stop by the President's house, me and Mrs. P, and we'll stop by and have a cocktail. See what's going on. Maybe take a picture. How about that?
Is that a Ford F-150 moment?
Oh, I'm definitely down. And listen, we're not taking Mrs. P's Beamer. We're taking the Ford F-150. That's what we're doing. Now,
why can't we drive the Beamer? It's a gorgeous car.
The Beamer's awesome, but I like to drive. And I'm going down I-85, and we got orange cones and attitudes on I-85 South. You've got to prepare yourself for that trip. And I know it's only 2 hours away, but the South has been stressed out with this gas problem. We got idiots on the highway. We have idiots at the gas pump, unless you're behind Benny Hill. And I'm driving tomorrow, and we're going to stop by the President's house and see what's going on.
All right, full show. John Pack will be here, one of the top college amateurs in the country, member of the Walker Cup team, and Florida State star. That's right.
He's the guy.
Number nine, Elliot Avent, the head coach of NC State's baseball team, will be here. Knock on wood.
Yeah, we found him.
Dabo Swinney. Yeah, we found him. Florida State's Christina Roque, part of their win last night.
She was great.
Against Virginia. My son will also be here at 9:45 today.
Breaking news. Breaking news. You don't have to wait till 10:05 today, boys and girls. We've got breaking news with the Durham family today. Awesome.
And Paul Carcaterra is next. We will discuss lacrosse, and I am sure Pack is also going to work in some food.
Oh, yeah.
I just have this sense that there will be some food talk.
Yeah, Kark was on the radio show this week. He was great. We're going to tag team and finish the week with Kark, too, on TV. Beautiful.
He is always fantastic. We enjoy our visits with Paul Carcaterra. He helps our Friday show get underway. We got a full one for you here till 10 o'clock. We'll get into the lacrosse talk with Kark. as we roll in hour one on Friday's Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network. Good morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It's a Friday. Everybody's fired up. Good weather. Weekend's upon us. We've got breaking news later in the show. Tons of guests. And we're going to start off with our man, Paul Carcaterra. Breaking news. Breaking news. Carc joins us to break down what's going to be a tremendous weekend of men's lacrosse. Paul Carcaterra joins us. And I'll tell you what. There's Carc. Hey, Carc, I tell you what. If you think soccer is tough, wait till we get this weekend in lacrosse, right? This is going to be knockdown, drag out, the best of the best getting after it. It's going to be tremendous.
Oh, awesome. I mean, the weather is finally breaking in the Northeast, seeing some semblance of spring. And I don't know. I just think everything is geared up towards an incredible May. We've had, I think, the best regular season. I've been with ESPN over a decade right now. And heading into this stretch, I've never been so excited. Probably has a lot to do with last year, the abbreviated season, and ending that season early when there was so much really kind of juice in 2020, and then it abruptly stops. 2021 was even better. So the tournament, if it's anything like the regular season, it's going to be off the charts, and I can't wait.
Hey, Carc, I want to start here at the top. Let's go ahead and we'll just kind of work our way down here because I know we got a lot of ground to cover. Carolina's the top seed. They are a scoring machine. Joe Bresci has been, hey, look, when we get it going, it's beautiful and it's fun to watch and, you know, a lot of good stuff happens. But always I hear this year, this time of year, especially postseason, it's about defense. So where does Carolina go in your mind when they hit that bump where goals are hard to come by, or are they going to hit that bump?
Honestly, I don't think goals are ever going to be hard to come by for that offense. And the reason being is they're very different than every other team in the country. Every team either revolves around a superstar or a scheme that has to work. And Carolina has a superstar in Chris Gray. But the difference between Chris Gray is they use him in so many different ways. They don't rely on him to be one-dimensional. And a lot of teams want a certain player to be a passer, or a certain player to be a shooter, or a dodger and an initiator. Chris Gray is the chameleon of that offense. They throw him in all these different spots. And essentially what that does is it allows everyone else to play that way too. So they're the nation's leading scoring team in college lacrosse. He's the nation's leading scorer individually. And it's for a reason. It's because of Dave Metzbauer, their offensive coordinator, puts Gray in all these different spots, and everyone flourishes as a result. This offense, to me, is one of the most selfless offenses I've ever seen in college lacrosse because I've never seen a superstar like Chris Gray demand the ball so little. And, you know, the results are so powerful in terms of what they do to opposing teams. Their defense is not a top four defense in the country. It's not. But their offense is good enough to kind of mask some of those deficiencies. And they're a good defense. They're just not great. I just think that this offense puts so much pressure on teams and they move defenses so much that the defenses get gassed. So as a result, their own defense actually rests and can play some pretty solid defense as opposed to like a Syracuse who, you know, plays a ton of defense because their offense doesn't have the ball. They don't win faceoffs. They're gassed all the time.
All right, Carc, we got teams seeded 1, 2, 4, 6 in the ACC. All five teams qualified for the tournament. Duke's a 2, Virginia's a 4, Notre Dame's a 6. The team that intrigues me, though, the most, they play tomorrow. And that's the one that's not seeded, and that's Syracuse. They've got the 5 seed in Georgetown. What do we get from Syracuse? There's been crazy stuff away from the field they have to deal with. Is there a sense of freedom that they're playing with house money, or is there a sense of, hey, this black cloud's been following us around for a while, and oh my God, now we got to take Georgetown. What do we get from Syracuse tomorrow?
I think that's a great question, and I think you get a sense of urgency. I don't think anyone's playing with house money there. This is a team that's led by a coach who's won 5 national titles, and they've been to 1 Final Four in the last decade. All of their fifth-year seniors came back for this moment to go to championship weekend. When the season ended last year, in the beginning of March, they were the number one team in the country. They brought back so many guys, so much power at the midfield and Stephen Rathis comes back for a sixth year. Jamie Trimboli, the midfielder, comes back for a fifth year. They had all the pieces, and everyone was so psyched around the Orange in Central New York. So the expectations were championship weekend or bust. So right now I feel like there is pressure. They've obviously gone through a lot of things in terms of everything dealing with Chase Scanlon. But on the field, it hasn't really impacted them that much. And I'll say this, because Owen Seabold, who is a righty attackman and went in for Scanlon, is a very good player. And he actually adds a different dimension to the team in terms of creating offense because he's bigger and he can go to the goal. I don't think this is a team also that is fractured in the locker room. When I've talked to the players there, they have great leadership. This is a team that is together, and they're in a situation where they want to be. But to be quite honest with you, I don't know if they have the pieces to get past Georgetown. I mentioned earlier, their defense is really struggled. I think if they're to win that game, they need to play defense like they did against Virginia 3 weeks ago on April 24th, when they had a little bit of mix of zone and man and threw Virginia off a little bit. Because Georgetown has an offense, honestly, that's in the level of an ACC offense.
Mm. We don't have to worry about defense at Notre Dame. They're as good as it gets. Seemingly, and Kevin Cargan's got a really good team. But let's be honest, the storyline out of the bracket is Notre Dame feels, whether they do or don't, that's up to them. But a lot of people think they've been seeded down too far at six. How much fuel does that give them? Do they need the fuel, or they just go play?
You know, they're a team that I think Kevin Corrigan's always done a great job in terms of the messaging for his team. I bet you they're spending very little time in terms of looking at the bracket and like, oh, we're a sixth seed. And, you know, if we win this game against Drexel, we have to play Maryland, who will be a three seed. And many people thought was in contention for a one seed because they were undefeated and won the Big Ten. I'll say this, Notre Dame, in my mind, outside of North Carolina, I think is the best team in the country. I'd say one of those two teams. They check every single box. I mean, they have Pat Cavanaugh, who's got 59 points in 10 games, and he does it with dramatic fashion. He's the fuel and juice of that offense. Like he gets those type of goals that everyone erupts, SportsCenter top 10 type goals. They have shooters at the midfield. Will York's a lefty attackman. But more importantly, they have horses that can own the middle of the field. That's where they've owned Duke. Like they've treated Duke like an inferior team in the middle of the field because of all the turnovers they've forced, because they've impose their athleticism on Duke in the middle of the field. That's what a lot of people aren't talking about. Notre Dame has the horses, and we know about their defense. You mentioned their defense. So I think this is a program and a team that's spending very little time on who they're playing next, because they're focused on Drexel. And that is so cliche, but the rest of the lacrosse world's focused on it because everyone's saying, wow, in the quarterfinals, Notre Dame, Maryland, that should be like a national championship type game. But that would be at home because the way the NCAA kind of developed the bracket and had the predetermined host sites for the quarters, Notre Dame is one of them. So the lacrosse world loves it because it's something to talk about. And you could say, oh, Maryland 3, they should be a little bit higher. Maybe a 2 should be in contention for 1. I think Maryland's where they need to be. But I think Notre Dame, it's kind of ridiculous, a 6 seed. You can't tell me that Notre Dame is a 6 seed when, you know, Georgetown's a 5. Notre Dame should at least be a 5, and I would have them at 4, to be honest with you, over Virginia.
Paul, of the 4 other teams, we just talked about Syracuse when I asked you the question, but number 1, Carolina, number 2, Duke, number 4, Virginia, number 6, Notre Dame. Of those 4 ACC teams, who would you say is, and I'm not talking about necessarily an upset, and maybe you will, who is in most danger in terms of the weekend of the 4 seed teams from the ACC?
That's easy for me. I'm actually calling the Virginia Bryant game, Pat, and when I'm watching Bryant on tape, I'm like, oh my gosh, like they've got some players. They don't have the depth of any of these ACC teams, but their top end talent, they have the kid Marco Rourke. He's this lefty attackman. I'm telling you, when I'm watching tape, like he shoots with pressure on him as good as any player in the country. He was out because of myocarditis, the inflammation of the heart, and missed the majority of the season. He comes back in the last 4 games. He has 5 goals. He took 24 shots in a game this year when he came back. So like this is a guy that like a great hockey player in high school. He's one of those guys when you look at his wrist, like it looks like he's hitting a slap shot when he's shooting a lacrosse stick. He's an exceptional player, and they have this kid, Logan McGovern, who's a fantastic quarterback, too. Smooth and can pass. Like, that 1-2 punch out of Taft is going to give Virginia some fits. The question is, can Bryant run with a Virginia in the middle of the field? That's where the drop-off is oftentimes with the ACC schools when they play a team from the NEC like a Bryant. I think if Bryant keeps that to a half-field game late, in the third quarter, that's going to be a tough out for Virginia. Bryant beat Syracuse in the same exact game in 2014 when the Orange were loaded. Hmm. So they've had history here. Last year, this same team with all the same cast of characters lost to Carolina at Carolina early in the season, 18-16. They have all these dudes back. So, like, I'm watching film and I'm watching what happened this season in terms of, you know, what their offense looked like pre-O'Rourke to now with O'Rourke. If I'm Lars Tiffany, I spoke to him yesterday. He is concerned, and he should be.
Gonna be good. By the way, pregame meal for tomorrow for you is what?
Oof. You know, it's a 2:30 game. Maybe I'll go heavy. Maybe like some gnocchi bolognese. You guys like gnocchi?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
You got to have, like, if you're going to have gnocchi, it's heavy, right? Gnocchi is heavy. So if you're going to go heavy, just go for the knockout and have some bolognese sauce on there.
Yes.
Nice. Yes. Here's one other thing for you. I will tell you, before you go, guys, if I'm at Hofstra for the quarters, there's a place called Vincent's Clam Bar. It's right near Hofstra University, where the quarters, one of the sites will be at Hofstra, the other at Notre Dame. There's a dish there that I've tweaked there because my brother's been there a bunch. Instead of getting chicken parm, when we go to Vincent's, we get chicken parm with vodka sauce instead of the marinara sauce. It's incredible.
Ooh, jeez.
Yeah, chicken parm with vodka sauce. Try it.
Sounds like breakfast.
That's breakfast. Thanks, Clark. Be well.
Thanks, guys.
Paul Carcaterra. Yep, see ya. You bet. You're the man. All the lacrosse info you need. When we come back, big weekend baseball series tonight starts in Pittsburgh. Number 9 Elliott Avent is with us. Better late than never. That's the way I look at it, Pat.
We had him yesterday.
And keep our fingers crossed.
We found him, I think.
Yeah. We scheduled him. He wasn't there. We've rescheduled him. We hope Elliott Avent is with us from Pittsburgh next as the Pack is on the road after reeling on UNC Wilmington the other night. We'll talk to Elliott Avent next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday.
Oh.
Many thanks to Paul Carcaterra. Knocking it out.
Sure.
Thanks, lacrosse. All right, let's get right to it. We're going to Pittsburgh, PA. We have found him. He has been straddling the bridges and looking for statues of Roberto Clemente, and there he is, Elliott Avent, the head baseball coach of your NC State Wolfpack. Coach, good morning. I'm glad we found you.
Hey, good morning. It's good to see you guys. Great to be in the city of Pittsburgh.
Who you got there with you? Who's your buddy?
How's your walk
there
this morning? Apparently, we're on the streets. How's the walk going?
Yeah, walk's great. I just walked out. I thought I was torn between going down to the Fairmont and bumping into some of Pac's Giants coming down to the park here, and I decided to go across the Roberto Clemente Bridge and look at the beautiful PNC Park, and I found this statue of Roberto Clemente. Our guys went to the Roberto Clemente Museum yesterday for like an hour and a half, and they said it was unbelievable.
I bet.
It's a great walking city, Elliott. You know that. I mean, Pittsburgh has got all that sports history. Pirates are a big part of it, certainly the Steelers and Penguins too. But you got a big baseball series. This is a huge weekend, right? I mean, for a lot of series in the league, but you guys are playing a lot better, and now all of a sudden you take on one of the real stories of the league and what Mike Bell's done up there in a short time.
Yeah, talked to Mike Bell yesterday. Bumped into Link Jarrett last night. Link Jarrett showed up last night at the hotel to see his son JT. But we've had tough big weekends ever since we started out 1-8. They've all been big, and this is certainly another one. And Pittsburgh has a good team, a senior, veteran-led team, and they got great starting pitching. I think the starting pitching ERA is something like the Braves used to be. So it's going to be quite a challenge, and but we're happy to be here. And like I say, this is a great city. I think this is a very underestimated city. This is a beautiful city.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful place, is right. But I tell you what, it's May, and I don't think there's any doubt that you're playing your best baseball of the year. You've won 7 of 9. You got a peak in May. You know the ACC tournament's coming down the pike here in a couple weeks. But this is kind of one of those tone-setting series, isn't it? I mean, Pittsburgh's fighting to win the Coastal. Georgia Tech got in front of them with the sweep of Clemson last week. And you guys are kind of positioning yourselves in the Atlantic. This is a big, big deal coming up this weekend.
Yeah, you want to be playing your best baseball at the end of the year because you want to set yourself up for the postseason and be at high at the right time in the regionals and see if you can get through a tough regional and maybe 2 out of 3, and then you go to what you think about all season, and that's Omaha. And so we're playing good right now, getting a little more healthy, and hopefully we can hang in there. And these guys have been very, very resilient, been very proud of our guys. I told them so at practice last night just how proud I was of this team and what they've done, because we've played like 9 guys like the last 2 months. And that's hard to do with everything else that's going on with school and wrapping up exams and stuff. And their mindset as far as coming to the field focused, committed to each other, has been pretty fun to watch. This is a fun group to be around.
Elliot, I mentioned this on the show yesterday. Watching the tail end, the last 3 frames of the Wilmington game the other night, I thought Villamon did some really good things for you as a pitcher. And I know that you need – whether it's in Charlotte at the ACC, whether it's the NCAAs, you need the extra arm. You got to have a 4th guy. You almost got to have a 5th guy sometimes, depending on the way the bracket falls. How important is the pitching aspect and the expansion of the pitching this time of year for you?
Well, it's very big for us. You know, a coach's best friend has always been a good bullpen, and that's what we've kind of lived off of here for a long time. This year, unfortunately, a lot of our big bullpen arms were set back with injuries, and they're not available. So, you know, we may get Kanan Silver back. We're hoping for that in a week or so. But Dalton Feeney has stepped up out of the bullpen. But like you said, Wes, Villamon has been unbelievable in the midweek. He's gone 7-8 innings, a complete game, and he's really rested that bullpen, which has been imperative in the middle of the week. And we've been getting by with Reed Johnston, Willison and Sam Highfill, and Evan Justice has been so big out of the bullpen. And but we're a little thin in that department right now, so Villamon stepping up has been really huge.
Elliot, normally everybody loves a home sweet home, but you guys have been out of sight on the road. 12-3. What's the magic sauce there taking it on the road for the Wolfpack?
I think that just coincided with us playing good baseball. You know, we started out 1-8 at home, which is, you know, is really tough to swallow. And we actually played really good against Louisville that last series, and they were just so red hot and playing with such confidence. We got swept in that series. But we started playing good that Louisville weekend, and we just kept playing better and better. And it just coincided with us going on the road, I think.
All right, so you're walking Pittsburgh. You play tonight at 6 o'clock. You're kind of in the streets here this morning, slinging the coffee, taking in some of the sights. You're almost like man on the street for us here. It's kind of developed into a little bit of thing. We might be able to go places with Elliot Avent, man on the street, in the ACC pack. I'm starting to feel that we got something brewing here.
Yeah, I would like that. I think that'd be good. I think that'd be a great show, especially if we go to places like, I know Pac would like for me to go to the Kentucky Derby, yeah. Maybe Florence, Italy. Maybe we can do a little international walk in the streets in Florence. I know Pac would like that. And anyway, this is you talking about a great city to walk right here. It's Pittsburgh. This is a beautiful city. And you mentioned the Penguins and the Steelers. All these places are right here together. And it's just a fabulous city. And they love their teams here. They love their Steelers and their Pirates and their Penguins.
Well, the fact that, you know, they only bring in the big boys on certain weekends. The fact that NC State and the San Francisco Giants visit Pittsburgh the same weekend tells me everything I need to know. I mean, hey, Pittsburgh knows. Pittsburgh knows.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you walk the streets and you bump into Evan Longoria. I was torn this morning between coming down to PNC or turning left and going down. I think the Giants might be staying at the Fairmont or something. I was torn between going down there and maybe I'd bump into Buster Posey for you and get him on the show this morning instead of me. But I took a right and went to PNC. Anyway, if I see Buster, I'll ask him if he wants to go on the show tomorrow.
All right.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Why don't you turn the phone around a little bit here, and let's see where you are. Show us the street and the ballpark. Okay. Look at this.
Roberto Clemente Bridge right behind me. And then you go down here. I think this might be the Allegheny. I know they got three rivers that meet here. And I don't know which one this is. I can't recognize it, but I would guess it's the Allegheny. And
Elliot, you don't have a bag with you, because if you have a bag, there are no bags prohibited. So you got to be careful. There was a sign there that said no bags prohibited. So hope you don't have a bag with you.
I don't carry a bag. I travel light. But anyway, behind me now is PNC Park. And like you said earlier, you could actually – My trainer has the same room, I think, that Jack Reacher, Tom Cruise had in that movie, Jack Reacher. Look it up. He said outside his room he could watch the game the other night. You could actually see into the stadium and watch the game in his room.
All right, here's the other question.
That's pretty good.
We saw highlights of your team a second ago, and I couldn't help but notice your sweatband game is pretty impressive. You got sweatbands almost up to your elbows. Is that on purpose, or is that superstition, or is that just the look?
Oh, no, that was – thanks for asking, because that was the big Chris Combs ALS game. We had sweatbands in honor of Chris Combs ALS. And I know I looked a little bit like Dusty Baker. All I needed was the toothpick. But that was actually a tribute. That was actually a tribute to Chris Combs.
Nice. I like it. Like it. Everything
That's
about
awesome.
This has been great. Oh, bro.
Yeah. We wish you a lot of luck in Pittsburgh this weekend. Appreciate you taking time to spend a few minutes with us and providing us with a walking tour of the city. It's awfully kind of you.
This is a beautiful city. These bridges and just the mountain with a trolley up there. It's a very proud city and a very good, beautiful city. We're glad to be here, but we're going to need a lot of luck. We got our hands full with these Pittsburgh, not the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're playing like the Pirates a little bit, but these Panthers, we got our hands full this weekend. They're pitching really, really good.
Hey, by the way, when you're bumping to Buster Posey, tell him that good luck, and it's great view sitting there on the top of the National League West. Just be sure to drop that to him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if y'all got a spot open tomorrow, if I can get Buster to go on, if y'all can fit him in,
We don't do Saturday shows, Elliot. Elliot, we don't do a Saturday show.
For Buster Posey, I bet Pac will do it.
I'm in. I'm in, Buster. I'm in.
Let me also say this too, Elliot. This is 385 television shows with Packer that we're finishing up here today, and I've known you a long time. I never realized what an attractive chin you have until we had this interview today. So I appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you very much. I shaved just for y'all.
We'll talk to you. Good luck.
My daddy always taught me to be clean shaven, and I shaved just for the show this morning.
You're the man.
Thank you very much. All right. Take care, man. Good luck. Appreciate it.
All right. Y'all take care. Love you guys. Bye.
See
ya.
See you, bud. All right.
It's great. And you know what? Elliot, you know, somebody better make sure Elliot knows what time the game is, because Elliot will walk around and talk to anybody that runs into him. You know what I mean? Elliot's just one of those gregarious types, how you doing? And he'll sit down on the park bench and shoot the breeze with people. He's a nut now. He's great.
Meg and Drew may have to go back during the break and freeze the video right before we wrapped up. You know, some guy walked behind him and looked at him like he was nuts.
Yeah. You know, between Elliot Avent's chin and Bubba Cunningham's forehead, we can maybe do like a mix and match, couldn't we? Between Bubba's selfies and Elliot doing the interview via chin, the chin cam, the ACC Network chin cam. Unbelievable. It's awesome.
All right. Let's go to break. We got plenty to cover when we come back. Don't forget tonight, ACC baseball right here on the network. We get you cranked up with a big one now. Clemson, Florida State. You'll see all three as part of our coverage of ACC baseball. Starts at 6 o'clock tonight from Tallahassee. Monty Lee and the Tigers on the road to see Mike Martin Jr. and the Noles at 6 on ACC Network and always streaming on the ESPN app. When we come back, we'll go to Louisville. Update you on